On October 23rd, something weird happened.
The United States mission in Nigeria has issued a security alert over the risk of terror attacks in Nigeria.
The United States Embassy issued a security alert to its citizens.
The alert was released by the U.S. Embassy in Abuja on Sunday, and the alert read, "There is an elevated risk of terror attacks in Nigeria, especially in the Federal Capital Territory."
Abuja is Nigeria's capital city, located in the middle of the country, and the city has not experienced terrorist attacks targeted at civilians since October 2015, when several bombs went off in the outskirts around Kuji.
From Triple E Media, I'm Ramat Mohammed, and this is The Backstory.
Abuja has seen an escalation of general violence recently, but this security alert, which the US issued, was very specific. The US called out the possibility of a terrorism attack and said the targets may include but are not limited to government buildings, places of worship, schools, markets, shopping malls, hotels, bars, restaurants, athletic gatherings, transport terminals, law enforcement facilities, and international organizations. As expected, Abuja residents began to panic.
It is another evening in the Federal Capital Territory and close of walk, if I might add. Now, these Nigerians from various walks of life are indeed going home and praying that they will get home safe.
After the U.S. Embassy's alert, the Nigerian Department of State Services, DSS, responded through a press release. Dr. Peter Afunanya, the public relations officer for DSS, said the alert issued by the U.S. Embassy was similar to warnings the DSS had also issued recently. We surfed through the DSS website, and yes, the DSS has been posting regularly to update Nigerians on various activities. On October 11th, they told us that their Director General had received a National Honor Award. On the 1st of October, they wished us Happy Independence Day. On the 31st of August, they reminded us that DSS does not abduct citizens. But the last security alert from DSS was on July 24th.
Say no to separatist movement, terrorism, fake news, hate speech, religious bigotry, and any act that tends to divide us as a nation. Watch out for strange gatherings and suspicious movements. Restrict access to sensitive documents and data.
The alert that DSS issued on the 24th of July was quite different from what the US issued on the 23rd of October. The DSS alert did not highlight a terrorism threat specific to Abuja or any specific location. It spoke about kidnapping, violent crimes, and terrorism, but as a general warning to Nigerians. On the 23rd of October, DSS insisted that we should not panic. They called for calm and told us that they were working with other law enforcement agencies and stakeholders to maintain peace and order in and beyond Abuja. Apparently, this call for calm was not good enough for the U.S. Embassy because on the 26th, 3 days after the terrorism alert, the U.S. Embassy issued another security alert. This time, it announced that the U.S. Department of State had granted authorized departure status to Embassy Abuja. Basically, they were allowing non-emergency employees and their families at the embassy to leave Abuja if they wanted to. That same day, the 26th, the federal government, through the Minister of Information and Culture, Lai Mohammed, said there was no cause to panic.
Well, I can assure everybody here that our military and other security agencies have continued to do everything possible to secure and protect Nigeria and foreigners living in Nigeria.
Apparently, Lai Mohammed's words were not good enough because on the 27th of October, the U.S. Embassy issued another security alert for Abuja. This time, the department ordered the departure of family members of U.S. government employees from Abuja due to heightened risk of terrorist attacks. Social media users began to post videos from the night before showing those they believed to be staff of the U.S. Embassy leaving Abuja. And then, the unthinkable happened. Something that hasn't happened since the COVID-19 lockdown. A popular mall, the Jabi Lake Mall, announced on its Instagram page that the mall was shutting down operations for the day over security concerns. At this point, almost every resident was asking, what is going on?
The State Department warns Americans to not travel to Ukraine due to the ongoing tension along its border with Russia. A level 4 warning has been issued over the country. That's America's highest travel advisory.
The United States sends out routine travel advisory for its citizens living in or intending to travel to other countries. The US embassies in various countries also send out security alerts for specific regions, which are then later updated on the travel advisory. The US travel advisory rates countries' security at 4 levels. If a country is at level 1, US citizens are to exercise normal travel precautions. This country is generally safe, just take precautions. Countries like Croatia and Equatorial Guinea are tagged here. Level 2 security means that US citizens should exercise increased caution when traveling to that country. Basically, most areas in that country are deemed safe, but there is an increased risk of crime and violence. Countries like Malawi and Liberia are tagged here. Level 3 security means that US citizens should reconsider travel. Here they say, look, if your life doesn't depend on it, don't go. Countries like Uganda and Nigeria are on this list. Under this category, they usually have a list of regions within that country that citizens should not travel to. So if you decide to travel to Nigeria, they tell you to avoid certain areas. And finally, level 4 security means do not travel. Countries under this are experiencing high-level terrorism, civil unrest, or even outbreak of disease that affects almost all regions in the country. Countries like Russia, Ukraine, and Somalia are on this list. So as of October 5th, the US Travel Advisory had Nigeria at level 3, reconsider travel, but it also had some states at level 4, do not travel. Those states include Borno, Yobe, and Northern Adamawa due to terrorism and kidnapping, then Bauchi, Gombe, Kaduna, Kano, Katsina, and Zamfara due to kidnapping, and Akwa Ibom, Bayelsa, Cross River, Delta, and Rivers State, with the exception of Port Harcourt, due to crime, kidnapping, and maritime crime. As of October 5th, Nigerians already knew the security issues in those areas. But the security alert sent on the 23rd added Abuja to the level 4 list in Nigeria. Abuja was tagged do not travel due to terrorism, and that's what caused the panic. Exactly 3 days after the US issued the terrorism alert for Abuja, they did something very similar in another African country.
Now, in an alert released by the U.S. Embassy, the U.S. government says it has received information that terrorists may be planning to conduct an attack targeting large gatherings of people at an unspecified location in the Greater Sandton area. This, of course, they're saying could happen.
On the 26th of October, the U.S. Embassy in South Africa issued a security alert of a possible terrorism attack. The alert issued for South Africa was even more specific than the one issued for Abuja. In South Africa, the US warned of a possible terrorism attack in Greater Sandton area of Johannesburg on 29th October 2022. South Africa was given a location and a date. Prior to this security alert issued for South Africa, the country was tagged at travel advisory level 2, that's exercise increased caution. When the alert about a possible terrorism attack was issued by the US Embassy, the South African President Cyril Ramaphosa responded.
Any form of alert will come from the government of the Republic of South Africa. And it is unfortunate that...
Just like our own government, President Ramaphosa asked people not to panic and said that any form of alert will come from the government of the Republic of South Africa. So if the threat was real, why didn't the alert come from the government of South Africa? Why didn't the alert specifically calling out Abuja come from the government of Nigeria? And if Nigerians and South Africans do not hear from our own governments first, then why should we trust their calls for calm? The recent US Embassy alerts for Nigeria and South Africa caused panic because they were different from previous alerts. These alerts were more specific, and instead of being reactive, they were predictive. So for the previous security alerts, something happens in a particular region, the US informs its citizens. If it persists, the US asks them not to travel there. For example, on the 11th of October, the US Embassy in South Africa issued a security alert after a foreign terrorist was murdered. The alert advised US citizens to avoid a specific location. That's an example of a reactive security alert. Some things were happening and an alert was triggered. But the October 23rd alert in Nigeria and South Africa's alert on the 26th were not reacting to events that had already happened. They were predicting events citizens and maybe even host governments had no information about. As far as we can tell from the news, there was no terrorism attack at Sandton in South Africa on the 29th of October. Life has continued in Abuja since the alert on the 23rd, although the traffic has been somewhat lighter than usual. The mall that shut down reopened the very next day, and there has been no report of a terrorist attack in Abuja. Now, the immediate outcomes in Nigeria and South Africa could be interpreted in one of two ways. One interpretation is that there were no real threats of attacks in the first place. And the second interpretation is that the governments of Nigeria and South Africa had it under control like they said they did. Your future security depends on which of these interpretations you end up believing. If you believe that the threats were not real in the first place, then next time there is a security alert from the US, you will ignore it at your own risk. But if you believe that the governments of Nigeria and South Africa had it under control, then the next time the US issues a security alert, you wait for the government to confirm before you take action. But what if the US had access to information that our government does not? For the safety of US citizens and better partnership between the US Embassy and host countries, we would all feel more assured knowing that there is real-time bilateral sharing of information about security threats between embassies and host country governments.
The Backstory is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2022 Triple E Media Productions. If you enjoyed this episode of The Backstory and you would like to hear more, go to our website at 234audio.com to play the sample content. Then download our app from the Google Play Store for even more episodes. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at 234audio to watch the video for this episode. Make sure to click the notification bell, like, and leave a comment. Our episodes can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. This episode of The Backstory was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, Dominic Tabakaji, and Sam Tabakaji. Executive Producer Ramat Mohammed.